Good morning. I'm Joel Gill, Chasm Radio Farm Director, and it is time for your Saturday morning Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. It's brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon each and every week. And this week, yes, Stearns County Fair continues through Sunday afternoon. Randy was joined by Steve Frericks with FSA back on Friday morning's party line, and Steve had some important reminders for farmers around the area in regards to the current drought situation.
We kind of thought we were going to have a little bit of a lull to recover from crop certification, but this drought has kicked everything into gear, and we are actively administering programs that affect drought for the producers in Stearns County. CRP haying and grazing on certain practices is open right now. Effective August 2nd, it will be open. So if you're interested in haying or grazing CRP, what you need to do is come to the office to complete the paperwork. The contract holder needs to come to the office, not the, you know, in many cases, there's a livestock producer that's interested in doing that. They need to work through the contract holder. The CRP contract holder needs to administer this application. Certain CRP practices are eligible and certain are not. So it's imperative that you call the office and check and find out. Just because your CRP practice is not eligible does not mean you cannot potentially hay or graze it, but you may have to do what's called managed hay and grazing, where there would be a 25% reduction in your pay that you get in the fall for your per acre, your annual payment.
Sure.
So there are options for people who maybe don't have an eligible application. And we know that there's a critical need out there for the forage. So key point is make sure you call the office. You need to get approval before you start, and nothing can start till August 2nd.
We're still in a pretty major drought, even considering the rains we've had, right?
Correct. The National Drought Monitor comes out every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. The most severe areas of Stearns County have kind of been bouncing around a little bit. Yesterday's monitor suggested that the southern part of the county, more of that Eden Valley, Painesville area, is right now the most critical. The week before that, Sauk Center here was pretty intense until we had that rain that came through. The other thing that's out there right now with CRP is anyone who's looking to re-enroll their CRP right now for a continuous application, the deadline is August 6th for that application. So they need to come out and take care of that this coming week. So they got 1 week to complete that application. The other program right now that's kind of hot under the collar is the livestock forage program. And that was enacted once the county hit a D3 drought rating, which was about 2 weeks ago, two Thursdays ago it happened. When that happened, that opened up producers that have pasture land to be eligible to receive a financial benefit for lost grazing. So that program, we're starting to take appointments for that application the August 9th. Monday, August 9th, we're going to start filling our schedule for that, and producers can come in. This is an application where there's no harvest or anything. It's just an application. What producers need to do right now is count noses. We need to know how many animals are out on those pastures, and we need you to break it apart by weight ranges. We have adult animals or 500 pound plus or 500 pound or less categories for those, for your beef cattle, your dairy cattle, that type of thing. And everyone says, well, how much does this pay? That is a loaded question. That program has four different factors. It looks at the type of the pasture, the acres of the pasture, the animal units on the pasture, and the severity of the drought. Those four factors come together to determine the payment level. I've seen $15 an acre. I've seen $30 an acre for those applications. So if producers did not certify their acres, their pasture acres, when they did their cropland, they need to call the office and get scheduled. There will be a late file fee of $46 for that, because we have to do our part in the office to go verify that that's actually a pasture out there when you certify it. So that covers the cost of the trip and going out there and everything. Call the office, schedule the appointment, get in, and mid-August, we'll start administering. We should be administering payments in mid-August.
Randy and Steve Frericks at the fair Friday morning on Party Line. Well, labor's a major topic. USDA has more details on where we're going when it comes to agriculture labor.
The ag sector faces labor shortages. As National Pork Producers Council President Jen Sorensen explained at a recent Senate Judiciary Committee hearing,
if the labor shortage is not addressed, it could lead to farms and packing plants shutting down.
One way to perhaps resolve this issue, modernization of programs involving our nation's migrant and farm guest workers. United Farm Workers President Emeritus Arturo Rodriguez points out,
the ag industry and our food security rely on approximately 2.4 million farm workers. Roughly half are undocumented and 10% are workers here on H-2A visas.
So what are some of the challenges within the current system? And what are some thoughts regarding how to modernize it? I'm Rod Bain. And coming up, a look at addressing the nation's farm labor shortage in this edition of Agriculture USA. The U.S. farm sector faces a growing shortage of workers, especially in the realm of labor-intensive crops. For decades, that void has been filled by migrant workers, with one path being the nation's H-2A guest worker program created in the early 1950s. As former Assistant Secretary for Labor Leon Sequeira notes,
that program today remains the only option for farmers to fill their seasonal labor needs.
You may have heard the term seasonal used. Under H-2A, certain segments of the farm sector are excluded from use of this program. This is Illinois dairy grower Lene Kustra.
Dairy farmers are in a difficult spot because they cannot supplement their workforce with H-2A employees. H-2A visas do not work for dairy farms because they need qualified year-round employees.
Several producers of commodities like livestock, dairy, and specialty crops agree that a year-round available workforce is necessary for their operation survival. Currently, for some, robotic and mechanical technologies to harvest and produce crops are too cost prohibitive to use as a labor substitute. And Kustra adds decades-long efforts to hire domestic help for her family dairy proved
the domestic workers just aren't there, even with good pay and good benefits.
A point recently hard-pressed upon Oregon asparagus grower Shay Myers.
This year on our asparagus farm, we lost 100% of the season's profits because we were unable to get domestic workers when our 36 H-2A workers were delayed at the border for 90 days beyond their date of need. 90 days after we needed them.
That situation also illustrates some of the other reasons behind guest worker modernization efforts, according to Leon Sequeira.
Throughout its history, the program has been plagued by complicated regulations, bureaucratic inefficiencies, high cost, processing delays.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack adds additional shortcomings of H-2A for both farmers and workers.
Availability of H-2A workers is always in question. Wage increases or decreases are fluctuating from year to year in an uncertain path. There's a cumbersome process involved. There are uneven worker protections.
As well as separation of workers from family and inability both from legal and schedule perspectives to return home to see loved ones. So then what is needed to modernize H-2A and the farm guest worker system? The thoughts of Leon Sequeira are that
an updated H-2A program must be simpler, more efficient, less costly, and accessible to all agricultural employers.
The Agriculture Secretary, meanwhile, says any modernization must create for producers
a stable, secure system so you can plan ahead, so you can determine whether or not you are able to expand, able to buy that additional farm, able to expand by buying and expanding your herd. Farmers can't do that today. They can't make those decisions because they don't have the security and the stability of a system that works.
While for laborers, Secretary Vilsack believes guest worker modernization
improves housing opportunities for workers without burdening the producers with additional costs, provides worker protections, and indeed provides a pathway to legitimacy.
Several stakeholders within this particular issue believe farm guest worker modernization needs compromise to move things forward. The secretary notes with the Farm Worker Modernization Act currently under congressional consideration,
roughly 80 ag groups have worked collaboratively with farm worker unions to work on this bill.
And that is due to the concerns of the potential consequences if the nation's farm labor shortage is not resolved in a timely fashion. Lene Kustra says a recent Texas A&M study shows for the dairy industry alone,
if the U.S. dairy industry lost its foreign-born workforce, it would nearly double retail milk prices and cost the U.S. economy more than $32 billion.
While Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack points out,
if we fix this system, then we have stability in that food and ag sector, which obviously provides enormous choice for consumers, less expensive food for consumers, and better jobs.
And that is your Central Minnesota Farm Report for this morning. Here on Chasm Radio, it's brought to you by Mid-Soda Manufacturing in Avon.